Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Earlier this month, editors at The Washington Post magazine asked me for a big policy idea that the Biden-Harris administration should tackle. As a new mother myself, juggling childcare and working from home during the pandemic, my response was to build an affordable national childcare system that engages the business community as well as federal, state, and local governments. Since the pandemic began, hundreds of thousands of women have left the workforce, and the burden of childcare has fallen squarely on the shoulders of working women. These pressures have been exacerbated by race, social class, and even marital status. Last Tuesday, President Biden announced his plan to address the U.S. childcare crisis for both the people who need childcare as well as the people who provide it. Biden's proposal includes a $25 billion emergency stabilization fund that would help childcare centers that are hit hard by the pandemic stay afloat, as well as provide things like PPE and other resources. The plan also provides $15 billion to low-income families that need help affording childcare. For more on managing the childcare crisis we're facing is Leah Austin, director of the Center for the Study of Childcare Employment at UC Berkeley. Leah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So my call for a national childcare system, would you say that that's kind of what we need, or am I just off base there?
You are totally on base. That is okay. Absolutely what we need.
To me, the issue is one that really presents a question of inequity within the childcare system. What does our national childcare picture look like right now, Leah?
Well, you've really nailed it in talking about inequity. We don't have a comprehensive national childcare strategy right now. Really, the default strategy is to leave it to most families to figure it out. And so we have a system that was really under-resourced and really quite a frail system before the pandemic. And what the pandemic has done to that childcare system is really just, you know, in many ways bring this system to its knees. It's a system that was not working well for most parents and children. Access was limited. Many people still didn't have access to childcare. From a parent's perspective, it's costly and expensive. And on the other side, when we look at the people who are providing the services, most of whom are women, almost half of whom are women of color. And in states like my home state of California or in New York, most of the women providing services are women of color. This is a workforce that is consistently among the lowest paid occupation in every state in this country. So it's really been a broken system, and the pandemic has just put more and more pressure on the system without the resources that are necessary.
Let's talk a little bit about what the pre-pandemic patchwork looked like. I was not in the childcare world before the pandemic started. I've now become a parent, and so I'm much more aware of the limitations. But what are we talking about when it comes to childcare? We're talking in-person, in-home, au pairs, daycare. What was the patchwork like prior? And about how much were Americans spending on childcare?
Well, the patchwork was really all of those things. And what a time for you to be entering parenthood and trying to manage all of this, right?
Tell me about it.
Parents are trying to put together childcare in whatever ways they can. In our work at the center I work with, we tend to focus on the formal childcare system, but even that is complicated and is delivered in many different ways. So you do have people who will, of course, are accessing individual providers, but many are utilizing center-based childcare. Many are utilizing home-based or family childcare. These are people, again, mostly women who are operating businesses out of their home. Group childcare, and parents are footing most of the bill for childcare in this country. About 60% of childcare is paid for by parents, to the tune of $40 plus billion a year. with the federal government and state and local government paying a little bit through some public pre-K programs. Head Start might be the one people most hear about, Head Start programs, and some child care subsidies. But that really touches a small segment of the population of children and families who need it. And those programs, with few exceptions, are not funded at a level that really brings the level of quality of care and services that children need and that support providers and the workforce. There's just not enough resources to make sure that the women doing this work are paid living wages. You know, there's really high levels of economic insecurity, and we see a lot of variation, you know, with in a workforce that's struggling as a whole, that there are real racial disparities in terms of who's working where and earning, you know, being paid which wages, with Black women in particular being paid the lowest wages among the educators doing this work.
And Leah, the pandemic shut down a lot of our childcare options.
It has. The pandemic has really, again, just kind of brought this system to its knees, and many programs have shut down because they simply could not afford to operate. I mean, one thing that's been interesting is we're talking across the country about reopening and, you know, schools developing reopening plans and what is this going to look like. The childcare system, for the most part, has actually remained open. There are very few places in the country that closed childcare when schools and everything else was closing. And that actually just put more pressure on childcare as schools were closed and parents were really desperate for options. So, you know, this is a system, and again, you know, women who have been operating since day one of the pandemic. But what's happened is, number one, there weren't enough resources before the pandemic, and it's just become harder as, you know, many parents weren't showing up for with their children for childcare. So that's a loss of revenue into programs. It's become more expensive to deliver childcare because you have to be operating with smaller groups. You have higher costs for cleaning and PPE and all of these things that make it much more expensive to operate.
Leah, let's talk about what this pandemic has meant for people who need childcare. We know record number of women have been pushed out of the workforce, and some of that is because they don't have the childcare that they need.
That's right. And just to return to one point that's connected to that before the break, you know, we have lost over 150,000 childcare jobs since the start of the pandemic. And so what that has translated to is, you know, losing as many as, you know, 4.5 million childcare spaces that could potentially be a permanent loss of spaces and options for children and their families. And there was not enough childcare pre-pandemic. So this is certainly exacerbating a very difficult situation. And You're right that this is impacting parents, particularly women. Again, we've known for, you know, decades that a lack of childcare, either because it's just not even available to you or because it's too costly, has impacted mothers more than it has fathers. Again, you know, estimates pre-pandemic tell us that parents, mostly moms, were, you know, losing wages between $30 and $35 million billion a year because they couldn't participate in work due to a lack of childcare. And that has, again, just really crushed working moms during this pandemic. And, you know, we've long had this situation that is really coming into focus now, where our childcare system, or lack of comprehensive system in this country, has really pitted the needs of one group of women against another group of women. You have working, you know, mothers who really need childcare. They need childcare to be available, and they need it to be affordable. And the women providing the work, because they're relying on parents to pay most of childcare, you know, the resources available to them, the money available for their wages and pay, are always directly tied to the ability of of parents and again of working mothers to pay.
And this so you... this feels, Leah, a lot of this, and I think your point is exactly, as I'm listening to you, this tension between these two groups that exists really feels like a failure on, not on the part of the child giver, the child care providers or the people who need child care, but more on our business and federal and state and local governments to not understand that if you have parents that are working, they need to put their children somewhere, especially when there is, are no school options available. So what do you think, Leah, are, I guess, the failure of U.S. child care policy here, but also this new proposal from the Biden administration, do you think that will help mitigate some of the tension you're talking about here?
Well, it is absolutely a failure of policy and in terms of how policy is shaped and resourced. And so the Biden, there's two things. You know, President Biden has introduced a relief bill, which would provide some immediate resources and stabilization funds that are desperately needed for childcare programs, both so that parents can, again, access with a childcare subsidy, access childcare, and that there are resources going into programs to pay their bills and to pay their staff. So that is an immediate need. It would absolutely help to provide some much needed intervention and relief. And at the same time, we also have to be thinking long term. And President Biden, as a candidate, introduced a plan for early care and education that really centers on the workforce, recognizing that early educators, the women providing services, are the key. And ensuring that families have access. What I think we want to make sure we get right with any long-term plan is having a program that is effective and equitable for children, for their families, and for the workforce, and making sure we're looking at a system from each of those perspectives, and that, you know, that parents can work, that they have access to childcare that is open and universal, and that the women who are doing this work are paid a living wage and that they're able to take care of and feed their own families.
Leah, I want to ask you where you think the business community needs to fit in here, because a lot of people are doing this work, are working for companies, not necessarily just for, you know, for themselves. And so shouldn't it be at some point incumbent upon the business community to understand that childcare is a necessity for their employees, not a luxury?
Absolutely. I think that the business community can play a really key role in helping to push for a publicly funded childcare system. I think that the business community in the pandemic has really recognized just how important childcare is, as you know, families have had to make choices about, again, leaving jobs, reducing hours, you know, moving things around on a daily basis in some cases to try and get to work. So I think there is a real recognition that wasn't there before the pandemic. And if there's any silver lining we can find as it relates to childcare, perhaps that's it. But I do think that the responsibility of businesses is to push for that publicly funded system. I think if we lean on businesses to, you know, pay for it just for their employees, then we're just bringing more inequity into an already, you know, inequitable system, with some businesses that are bigger and have more revenue and resources doing one thing for their employees and other businesses not able to do that. So I think there are ways we can look at our tax system and, you know, raising revenue for that publicly funded system.
And Leah, finally, in my piece in the Washington Post magazine, I called for a national childcare system. Do you see that even being possible? Maybe not under this administration, but sometime in the future?
I do see it as being possible. And I think that the Biden-Harris administration can lead the charge on that. I think they have a real commitment to an early care and education system. You know, the devil's in the details, but I think that there's a recognition of how important this is. Other countries have done it. There is absolutely, I think, the will to do so, and we can have a system that, again, is working for children, for their families, and for the women who do this every day.
Leah Austin is the director of the Center for the Study of Childcare Employment at UC Berkeley. Leah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Christy in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I think that moms are an underrepresented, you know, part of society that are taking an extra hit because a lot of us have had to quit work or we're trying to work and homeschool our kids, feed our kids, you know, everything having to do with our kids. And for example, my child has been diagnosed with dyslexia. He's 9 in third grade. So now I'm having to be a special education teacher on top of everything else. Just the amount of work, it's invisible work that mothers do